Good morning, Church at Home. We are so glad you're with us. We hope to have you join us in person soon. This week we are doing church outside in the parking lot, and we hope in the very near future, perhaps next week, we will be inside meeting together, of course, using every precaution that has been prescribed to us. We might be able to be inside next week. I know that the church is an important part of our life, not just important, but essential. I know the Bible talks about how we should not neglect meeting together. I know that it's because that we, when we meet together, we find accountability, we find fellowship, we find encouragement, and there's something about the corporate presence of God that brings something of God's miraculous power that we don't experience any other way. So we look forward to being back together. But until then, you can still join us on Church at Home. Today we are continuing a series. I have a very exciting word for you. The series is called So Last Year, and we are recounting truths that we've talked about through the last couple of years that are worth repeating, because that is how the Word of God is. It is always timeless. It always has truth that is worth bringing back up and being reminded of it from time to time. In fact, Romans talks about how hearing the Word of God brings faith. So I want to bring faith to you today. We are calling this series So Last Year, and these few messages that we are sharing, we're calling our road trip playlist, because when you go on a road trip, you like to play songs that are worth repeating. Now, my daughter is putting together a playlist for a road trip on her Apple iTunes, and I tell her we're not going on a road trip anytime soon, but at least her playlist is ready. But let me tell you, when God speaks, we don't have to have a road trip to go on to hear His words. So Lord, right now we pray in Jesus' name that You would open up our ears to what You have to share to us today, that You would remove distractions, and that we would be able to hear a fresh word for us that would encourage us, that would bring life, that would bring a prophetic edge to the next season that we are going into in our lives. Lord, speak to us today through Your word in Jesus' name. Amen. We journeyed way back in January through a series called Together. It seems like forever ago, but in that series, I asked you a question, and that was, in 2020 so far, which was only about 20 days, what do you think, are you working together with God so far, or are you working against Him? Now, that question is more relevant than it's ever been in these days that we are living in. With all of the strikes against us, we need to ask ourselves, are we working together with God, or are we working against Him? One of the closest relationships I have besides my relationship with God is my relationship with my wife, Cynthia. And we could ask ourselves this: are we working together or working against each other? And I want to tell you about a situation where we weren't working together. Would you like to hear about one of our biggest disagreements that we've had in possibly our whole marriage, perhaps at least the last 5 years? I think it's probably hands down the worst one. Would you like to hear? Please don't share it with anyone except that it's online. So a long story short, Cynthia and I, the family, a few years back, we were on a trip. We were on a cruise. We stopped at a port in a third world country. We were going off the boat on an excursion that day. I thought that she told me to go ahead, and she thought I said to her, I will wait for you when I get off the boat. I was a little foggy brained, and so I left, and I thought she would meet me at the excursion. And I had brought Jaden with me. He was at the time 3 or 4 years old. And I went walking distance to the place where we were meeting, and it was not walking distance for that. Let me just say that right now. But she waited for about an hour when she got off the boat, waiting for us, looking for us. And then when she couldn't find us, she started walking to find us. And she kept thinking she was going to come up upon us. And about 2 hours in, I started thinking, as I was walking to the place where we are meeting, uh-oh. I'm in some big trouble, because it was hot. We needed water. It was not safe. We were in a third world country. We had no idea where we were. We were walking through back alleys. We were walking through bad areas. And I had Jaden with me, and I could only imagine how she's worried about how Jaden is doing, her little boy in another country. She's not with him, and she's walking on her own with her mom, my mother-in-law. It was a long ways. They couldn't go very far, and there was no taxi to pick them up. And a long story short, once she met up with us, it was quite the show. She spoke to me, babe. And when she says sometimes babe is a nice thing to say, but sometimes you know you're in some big trouble. And I already knew it, because I was waiting for her to show up. And when she showed up, tired, worn out, sweating, she lit into me, and I deserved it, because I misunderstood the situation. That's my story, okay? And I was wrong. Men, make sure that you always take the responsibility, because it works out better for you. But at the moment, I was certainly wrong, and she yelled, and I got a earful, and I deserved it. And guess who else did? The entire group that was there for the excursion, with their mouths open, thinking, uh-oh, this man is not going to get to go back on the cruise. And for what it's worth, my nephews and nieces that were also there watching their uncle, they said it was probably the most entertaining part of the whole vacation, watching this play out. Needless to say, we were not working together, or at least I wasn't. And that's not good. So my point is, we all have moments where we don't work together, either with our spouse, our roommate, our siblings, and even God. You know what? I am so glad for the story of Jonah in the Bible. We know the story. Everybody knows the story of Jonah, because it shows us that God can help us. If he can help Jonah when he is not cooperating with him, he can help us too. Jonah 1:1. Would you follow along with me? I'm going to pull out some things from this and hopefully bring some encouragement. Jonah 1:1 says this: the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Right there, can I encourage you today that if you feel like your 2020 sight is blurry, the word of the Lord has come. The word of the Lord has come to you, just as it came to Jonah. And I would ask this question: what is he speaking to you? Be encouraged, because today I believe that you are going to leave here. You're going to be at the end of this. You're going to hear what Jesus is speaking to you. And the day we live in, God is speaking loud and clear, if you did not know that already. You don't need a crystal ball. You don't need a psychic to know God is speaking. All you need are ears to hear. And apparently Jonah didn't have ears to hear, because in it says next, what did God speak to Jonah? Well, I'm glad you asked. He says this in verse 2, Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach for me there. Tell them about me. Jonah's next step was to go to Nineveh. Can I ask you that same question? What is your next step? Well, I struggle. I just can't hear God. I try. I listen. I strive and I can't hear God. I don't know what He's speaking to me to do next. Well, let me give you a news flash, and this is not fake news, this is real. These last 7 months have been your opportunity or your preparation for hearing your next step.
You are not going alone this year. You're going to do it together. Together. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards good deeds, encouraging one another. Where you are not going alone this year. You're going to do it together with others, with God. I will be with you wherever you go, says the Lord.
What is your next step? I know my son's next step, both of them, is to go to college, is to raise enough money and then get yourselves to college already, right? I know that my daughters, and they're getting ready to go soon. I'm excited for them and they're excited too. I know one of my daughters' next step is to become proficient in playing guitar. She's been practicing. She desires to lead worship. I believe that is a desire that God has given her. And so part of her next step is to get great at being at an instrument, just like David did with his harp, to get good at that. Another next step for her is to go into her junior year of high school. Thankfully, she is getting to do that right now. She is going to school, and I believe one of the next steps for her as well is to be a light in her school to her friends. I think one of her next steps as well is to let her dad drive her cool yellow car, but she doesn't let me. I think one of her next steps should be let her dad get some free ice cream when he comes to Rizzuto's, but she hasn't let me do that either. What is your next step? What is burning inside of you that you know God is calling you to do in such a time as this that we are living? Can I suggest to you that sometimes we can't hear the next step because we still haven't done the last thing He's asked us to do? Maybe the first step for you was simply God is asking you to stop looking at those certain things that you are looking at on the internet. Maybe He's saying to you, get rid of these strongholds in your life that I'm trying to help you get rid of, like we talked about last week. Maybe He's asked you to knock down that prison of lies that you seem to keep believing so that you can be freed up to do what He's called you to do next. Maybe He's asked you to start discipleship with us online like we began a couple of weeks ago. We encourage you, jump in. That is okay. Maybe that's where God is going to share with you your next step. Often it's found in your reading of the Bible what God's calling you to do next. Maybe He's asked you to become skilled at playing piano or writing. Maybe you're a good writer. Maybe He's speaking to you to go to your Nineveh and be a light to your workplace. Start a prayer group in your high school. Whatever it is, listen, because first steps are so important because they pave the way for the next step God has called us to do. I want to give you a question today. What if David didn't do the first step in what God had called him to do? Because his first step, which was practicing his slingshot, helped him to do his second step, which was to defeat Goliath. His first step was to practice his harp, which led him to his next step, which was to write the book of Psalms, one of the most powerful books in the Bible. This was all while David was watching his sheep. He learned these things while he was watching his sheep, while he was waiting during the pandemic, during the coronavirus, God spoke to him. Until you listen to the first word of the Lord, God might not give you your next instructions. Here's Jonah's verse 3. Jonah, what Jonah did next. Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa. Often when you are not working together with God, it's certainly a downer. Now, this was geographically, but I believe spiritually, you can definitely be going down. And it feels like a downer when you're not working with God. He found a ship there bound for that port. After paying the fare, and I would say this, I've heard preachers say this for many, many years, God would have gotten, probably would have gotten Jonah to Nineveh without paying. But because Jonah was running away from the Lord, it cost him. Because running away from God will cost you. He went aboard a ship that he paid the fare for, sailing for Tarshish to flee, to run away from the Lord. Anyone else besides me during this quarantine, have you had your share of downer moments like Jonah, where you've gone down, where you've felt down, where you felt depressed, where you felt defeated, where you felt sorry for yourself? It was probably because you were not doing what God had asked you to do, and it cost you something for letting yourself go there. It's easy to say this. Well, how dumb is Jonah, right? I mean, come on, Jonah. Get smarter. Be wiser. Except when you realize, but after you finish the story and why it's been so powerful for thousands of years, that we are the ones who are the Jonah. That's why it's in the Bible to relate with us today. Verse 4, the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. I guess we better watch it. A storm might come if we don't listen to the first step or the next step God has called us to do. Except, wait. A storm? Does that sound familiar to anyone today? We are already in the midst of a storm, perhaps an end of the age type storm that we are going through. We are already in it. Now, we ask ourselves this question, did the Lord send the storm? Did the devil send the storm? Did other forces cause this virus? Let me tell you this. This is an easy way to answer. It doesn't matter where the great wind came from, as verse 4 said, the Lord sent a great wind. It doesn't matter where the great wind came from. Your response to the word of the Lord is what's most important. Whether it be in the storm or through it, cooperate with what God is calling you to do and do it. Whether it be in the storm or through it, whatever God is calling you to do, do it. But Jonah, verse 5, had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. Have you ever laid in bed paralyzed with fear because you didn't want to go forward, or you were frozen with whatever was keeping you from moving on? Don't ignore God's next steps. Don't sleep in. Don't be asleep when God calls on you. Be alert, be on watch. Don't be the sleeping giant. I remember as a teenager being at an event where I had a choice to make. God had called me to be a pastor. I knew I needed to respond to the call. God was speaking to me in a radical way. And then this is what happened. The preacher said something like, "Don't sleep through this opportunity to choose Jesus. If you are serious about what God is calling you to do, get out of your seat right now in front of thousands of your peers and shout at the top of your voice, I choose Jesus. I remember it so clear. Can I encourage you? Don't sleep through God's next step for you, or you might find that you have chosen by default the boat headed towards Joppa. And you know where that boat landed for Jonah, that boat headed toward Joppa. Whale. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to make the sea calm down for us? Jonah said, pick me up, verse 12, throw me into the sea, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Verse 15, then they took Jonah and they threw him overboard. And guess what? The raging sea grew calm. Maybe the word of the Lord to you today is this. Your first step is to throw that Jonah overboard. Whatever that Jonah is for you that is in your life keeping you from pursuing that next step, throw it overboard. Maybe the Jonah that you need to throw overboard is your pride or your lust or your fear or your doubt. Let's hope that it's not your spouse that you want to throw overboard, because I know mine wanted to on that cruise. But for this message, remember, we are the Jonah. So it says in verse 17, now the Lord provided, I like the way it says it, the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in that fish for 3 days and three nights. Jonah was provided by God a fish that swallowed him. God actually sent a fish to save Jonah, and then Jonah chose to work together with God. Maybe for you, your belly of a whale, your belly of a fish is the year 2020. Maybe it would read like this. Now the Lord provided 2020 to swallow Stephen. And then Stephen did the next step God called him to do. Are you running from God? Are you hiding out in a boat? No, not me. I would never run from God. I would never hide out in a boat. Well, then maybe you're being lazy or complacent or ignoring a call to be his voice to your neighborhood. Or maybe he's calling you to be a voice to a whole city. Maybe you've been asleep in the bottom of your boat while God is whispering to you, get busy in your gifting. I remember that moment as plain as yesterday when the preacher asked me as a teenager to respond to Jesus in a radical way. I shot up my hand in that giant arena and I shouted as loud as I could, I want Jesus! I want Jesus! From that moment on, I pursued God's call on my life to my Nineveh. Get busy. Get busy teaching, get busy preaching, get busy giving, witnessing, leading worship, leading a small group. What is your next step? Throw your fear, maybe it's fear, maybe it's doubt. Throw your doubt out the window. Throw your doubt overboard and get to it. Standing up for Jesus, shining your light instead of being afraid and being quiet and keeping your light dimly lit. Throw your pride overboard and be who God has called you to be. Give up those addictions. Oh, you always are harping on those. You're always harping, but it's true. Obey Jesus. Do what he said, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Give up those addictions. In order for God to get your attention, he's let you get swallowed up by a whale, for crying out loud. Listen to him. Throw that lust overboard. Throw that sin out of the boat and let him speak to you your next step. Would you pray with me, Lord? I just pray for every person that's watching, that's listening. Lord, I pray that you would cause us to realize that we are just like Jonah at times. And when we can't figure out what the next step is, maybe it's because we haven't done the first one. Let us have ears to listen. Speak to us. Tell us what you want us to do. Let us be attentive to work together with you in Jesus' name. Right, guys? Work together with God. I have a word maybe for someone out there. Have you been called to love your family and you love your job more? Maybe he's called you to spend more time with them and that's the last thing you've given your time to. Has he called you to love your wife and you love your addictions more? Has he called you to a career which is your calling and you're doing a part-time job instead? Or you could say it like this, is maybe it's your part-time job that is your ticket to your calling and you don't even realize it in the midst of your part-time job. There's another word I have for someone. Have you considered that the life raft that God is throwing you might come in the form of a whale to get your attention and you are blaming it on something else? You're blaming on the devil or the enemy or the flesh, and it's really God just trying to get your attention. I encourage you, my brothers and sisters, in these days that we are living in, work together with God, not against him, and watch him unveil an exciting plan that he has for you next, because we are going into another season and it is a season that could be one of our last on this earth. And I believe that you will see more fruit in these coming days as you are obedient to what he asks you to do. God bless you. Have a great day. Peace.
You are not going alone this year. You're going to do it together with others, with God. I will be with you wherever you go, says the Lord.